to those looking to live outside the box of religious performance and inside the love of an awesome Father, this is the God Journey.
Well, I'm Wayne Jacobson.
I'm Silvio Viotti.
And we are in Valorbe, Switzerland. Something like that.
That's pretty close, pretty close.
Silvio's home. Sarah and I have been here for about a week now, and we get ready to head home tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I've been in Europe a couple of weeks, but Sarah just got here a week ago. We've had a good time. I always scared to ask that of you.
Yeah. You know, like we say, you know, the visits always makes you happy. If it's not when they come, it's when they go.
Ah, so one way you're happy.
Yeah.
So what's been happiest for you?
Yeah, when you come and when you go.
Oh,
you
know, both.
You make me happy all the time, see?
It's like, say when you buy a boat, best day in a boat owner's life is when he buys the boat, and next best day is when he sells the boat. He doesn't have to fool with it anymore. I thought it'd be fun. I was hoping we'd get a guy in Germany, my publisher up there, who's done quite a few of my books, to talk a bit about what he sees in Europe and particularly Germany, where he's encouraged, where he's kind of what he sees God doing. So I think that's of real interest to people. They really like to know what's going on. He wouldn't come on, so he's not as bold as you are, I guess. But,
Well, it's your problem after that, if you want to publish that or not.
Yeah,
I don't care. I live here.
I don't mind. It's not obviously not everybody likes strapping a microphone on and having a conversation with me, for sure. So
I don't see why.
And I can appreciate that, actually. But maybe we could have that discussion. Silvio, for those of you who heard him on a previous podcast, you'll remember he was out in California with us a couple of years ago. And if you haven't remembered, yeah, We'll put the link here. You can kind of get some of his backstory there. But Silvio was my translator on, in fact, you approached me first about So You Don't Want Church Anymore?
Yeah, it was even before that because I don't remember. You know, I'm getting older. I don't remember. It's so long ago.
I understand.
And but the first book I read was Naked Church, and I translated it. I don't know if I asked you if I could do it. But I think I translated it, and then I had contact with you to ask you if you wanted to have it in French, and you said it's an old stuff. Maybe later. I think it was something like that. Maybe
really?
I'm wrong.
I don't remember that.
Yeah.
Wow. Now people are going to be
whatever.
Upset that we didn't put it out there.
Yeah, no, okay.
But it's okay?
Yeah.
And they did So You Want Church Anymore, and you had some a lady in France that wanted to publish these things.
Yeah, it was very, very funny the way it was edited, because I had translated the book, and I needed somebody to read the book again, so because I make a lot of mistakes while I'm translating. And a friend told me, I know this lady, she's a French teacher and she likes to do that. So I took contact with this lady, and she told me, I don't know if I'm going to like the book, but I will read it anyway. I said, okay, as long as you read it and correct it, it's okay for me. And she actually liked the book, so it was even better. And we were talking about the book, and said, "Now I have no idea how to edit this book in French." I said, "Oh, but I know this lady not far from here, and she has a little house publishing company, and so that's how it all started." And when you were in the southwest of France, in near Pau, in Bois-Bezin, we met this Sylvie, who was the editor of the books.
Yep. And she published that one, and He Loves Me.
And He Loves Me, yeah.
Now, I'm always amazed that people want to take something like that and translate it. I mean, there's some people that do it because they're publishers and they want to make money off of distributing it a different place. For you, this is just a labor of love. What is it about these books that triggered you to give so much of your time? And
it was so good. I mean,
more of that, yeah. I want more of that.
You know that already, but
no, there's a lot of good books out there. What about these?
No, but not. Yeah, some good books, but not these kind of good books. You know, we all know there is only one good book, like Louis Armstrong is singing about. But this book was very nice because it didn't, especially Jake, it didn't give answers. It was just asking questions. And then you have to find answers. In fact, some people, I heard some people talking about this book and telling me that they didn't like it because they just ask questions and you have no answer. You don't know what to do after that. See? He said, that's the goal of the book. You don't give answer in three or four, 10 points to be a Christian like that. You just ask the right questions, and you have to deal with it and find yourself the answers. And that's what I liked. And that's one thing. And another thing, this book was just describing in different ways, but it was describing the situation we were living, we were in it at the time, and it was so refreshing to see that we were not the only one crazy about on this country, you know, in this earth. So it was a refreshment for us to see that we were not alone on this journey.
Yeah, and I guess my question isn't so much about why this book, but what is in your heart for the people of Europe or French-speaking people or whatever. That not because you can read it without the French, so you didn't need the French to read the book.
Yeah, but I wanted the other people to discover this freedom. That's all about it. I don't have much to say. I think because I know I saw the people in the churches denominations that were tired of going there, but still went there because they didn't know better. And I was sure that it would be great if some of these would read these books and help them, that it could help them as well.
Great. So you're in a conversation with a number of people all over Switzerland here and
not
France.
Not that much.
Well, we had a couple of days with a bunch of folks from all over.
Yeah, that was very nice. First, on Saturday with German-speaking people, and it was a frustration for me because we have to speak English together because I cannot speak Swiss German, and a few of them could speak French. But it was very nice to know them. And then we had on Sunday with the French-speaking people, which was very nice. I knew already a few of them. I have contacts from now 3 years with 3, maybe 4 people that are living in my area. But otherwise, all the others, we had contacts because there was a meeting in La Chaux-de-Fonds, which is not very far from here. But we had contact at the time, but after that, no more contacts. And besides, they were what they were doing, they were trying to start up some house churches, not biological churches, but how do you say?
House church, cell church?
Cell church, and then and another one.
Organic?
Organic churches, yeah. And the way they were doing it was not
so organic.
No, and it didn't fit with what we think it should be, or how we would like to meet with people.
Well, I'm really grateful for the time you've taken to do whatever with this. I was just in Quebec City last month, and they've had 400 copies of He Loves Me through
that's
that
great.
Place. And yeah, and
that's
now they're working on working through So You Don't Want Church Anymore. But they're a growing, more traditional congregational. They're looking to be a bit out of the box. But so I don't know how that book will go over there. That'll be of interest. But when I'm there and knowing I wouldn't be there and none of this would be happening with them, if you hadn't followed through on something on your heart just to make it available to French people.
That's great. That's great. If it can be helpful, I'm just happy with that.
Yeah. Last night we had an interesting conversation.
Yeah, many interesting conversations.
Not just with Silvio and I. We had some brothers come over and want to probe my brain about a few things and sometimes share theirs, but... We had, interestingly enough, we had a young brother who's pastoring a more traditional congregation down the road a bit.
Yeah.
And he's struggling with, and I like this, because I hear from most pastor types who are in traditional settings, they'll say, I love that book, So You Don't Want a Church Anymore. And we're actually living all of that right here in our own congregation.
Right. I'm like, right.
Yeah. And then when you hear him talk more and more, you realize, no, they're not. What I love about this one, he said, I love that. I love everything in that. And I have to figure out whether I'm going to live that or stay doing what I'm doing, which I thought was pretty, yeah, he wasn't trying to pretend he was living that.
No, not at all. It was, I didn't know the guy. And in fact, he was, he's a pastor of the last church we went to 11, 12 years ago. But he didn't know us. I think it's only 3 years.
Yeah, he's been there 3 years, yeah.
There. And it was so refreshing to listen to this guy, because he really wanted to live in freedom and stuff, and he didn't know what to do with his congregation and with because he said he's really a pastor in his heart. He loves his people, he would like them to be free and to live loved and to know Jesus better and to. Exactly what
even did a sermon on not living out of obligations. You don't have to be here on Sunday mornings. If you've got other things to do, if you're just tired, whatever, feel free to stay home. And then he caught a little flack from that.
Yeah. So he was really he's really struggling, and it's very nice because he doesn't have any answers. And I like the guy. He was speaking from his heart. And
And I liked that he couldn't come up with a question, because the question he wanted to ask is, what should I do? But he was smart enough to know that I wouldn't have an answer for that.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I like that, because he's wrestling with, because I think for so many people, we spend 90% of our prayer life seeking God time, trying to get him to answer questions that I don't think he answers. What should I be doing a year from now and I will get there for you? Or should I, just do the whole freedom thing here and risk the whole congregation? Should I leave it and do something else? Should I just work with a small group with real stuff and then still do this stuff with the people? Yes. And the answer, I don't know. And he's been obviously struggling with this for some time.
Yeah.
But the answer isn't...
Not long ago, because he read the book not so long ago, three months ago.
I missed that. Yeah.
It was very, and it just jumped. He said it just jumped on his face like this is it, and he wants to live like that. And he's he's in part of, and I like because he asked you as well if you thought it would be possible for him to live outside but still being a pastor. And I like the answer you said, that you knew pastors, people like that who were not working, I mean, not having a job to earn money, but they were could still be pastors around and make a living as well. And I think that was very encouraging.
Yeah, not working as a quote-unquote pastor, but doing other vocational things, but still living. Because it's a gift, and the gift isn't dependent. I think by putting it in the systems we have, we've really... distorted genuineness of what it is.
We mess it up.
Because now it's not helping people grow. It's actually trying to manage this organization, budgets, whatever, make the whole thing work.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with pastoring.
Yeah, but I like where you come back to saying, you know what? I don't know that God has A, B, or C, wants to check that off for you. I think for most of us, how we find our way into what's next is simply doing what's before us today, this week. Where's God nudging us? What's on your heart? Following that. Yeah. And I think the consequences that follow with that, both positive and negative, are the things that kind of stir us on to see what else God has for us.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if we need an answer first so that we can strategize ourselves, I think God knows how stupid we are. And if we're going to, I know I am, if I'm going to strategize myself,
I know that
I'm going to hurt a lot of people. But if I just follow him today and follow him tomorrow, if I teach something and eventually the elders want me to leave or the power people in that group, well, then there's your answer. After God says, I want you to leave, I'll have them throw you out. And that often works just as well.
I've known people like that.
Ooh. Or other times you just know I can't go on anymore. There's just, I've reached a wall where now to stay just for the money compromises something more deeply in me. And then that's a good time to realize it might be time to move on. But I honestly think those things unfold to us more than...
Yeah, I never had to struggle with that because I never was a pastor. Never was, never will.
Never. Oh, but in many ways, maybe not in a vocational sense, but I think you care about people growing a lot. I think you and Dominic both. Yeah,
yeah, of course. That. And he said one thing while just before he when he was leaving this guy, and I said, "Well, I really would like to see you again one time," and he said, "And I hope you will have answers from God." And he said, "Yeah, I'm just like the weather. I'm right in the middle of the fog. I don't see where I go." I said, "Yeah, and one step after one after another, you just see the lights for the next step, and after a while you will come out, and there will be the sun, and you will see everywhere."
Yeah. And I think that's how it unfolds for us. And I know Kent and I from St. Louis, we've talked a lot about people on this journey. If you're going to survive it or thrive in it and love it, you've got to really be comfortable with uncertainty. I don't know for sure how this is going to work out. But because I'm with him, I find my rest not in I've got everything in my life figured out, but I'm with him. We're walking through it together. So doesn't matter how long I'm in the fog. If we drove quite a way in the fog today, but since I wasn't driving, that's no problem for me. I'm just going to sit and enjoy the journey. And I'm learning that with Jesus too. I mean, goodness, there's a lot about my life. I mean, I go home from this trip tomorrow. Sarah and I fly home. It's been the first time in 15 years that I can remember flying home from somewhere where I'm not already thinking about, okay, I've got this many days before the next trip. What do I want to try and accomplish? And you know,
that's a relief for you, I'm sure.
It's weird. I told Sarah the other night, it's weird because part of me says it could really be over. It could really be God saying, I don't need you to travel anymore, which I'm not sure this with a lot of people. That's going to be the best day of my life. I don't love traveling. I love being with people. I love our friendship, growing friendship with you and Dominique. And that's kind of interesting. You and I now have been together in 5 different countries in the world.
Yes.
And that may be a record for anybody else that I hang out there with. I don't remember anybody else being, but we've been in Switzerland together the second time. We've been in France together, Italy, England, and the United States.
And the United States, yeah.
Yeah, so we've had quite a bit of that. But I go home from this trip. And I'm going, and I'm pretty sure there's some things going on. And it's not that I lack invitations. I've got 150 emails from people saying, hey, could you think about coming here sometime? I always wait for timing that someone's writing me saying, we're feeling like early spring, summer, whatever. And here's the purpose that's on our heart. It doesn't have to be detailed, but just here's kind of what's on our heart about it. And so I kind of wait for that to line up with a similar timing and purpose in my heart.
In your heart, yeah.
I don't have any of those right now. And I just go, man, this is the first time in 15 years. And I've talked to before, this has been kind of a season of God letting everything come to a stop, including this podcast in many ways and trying to keep it going the way it was. I've given up on that. So we'll see if it becomes something else in the future, if it goes away. And now coming home without a trip scheduled and going, wow. This gives God a clean slate, and I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And not that I'm not getting, I got an invitation this morning for a specific time frame to come go west, young man, off to Australia again. So I'm thinking about it, praying about it, but until I get a yes from God, I'm not going to book anything.
I understand that.
And I'm excited because there's some things I want to write, and maybe that's a part of this time, just because I don't... Man, when I'm traveling, getting home for a couple of weeks and ready to go somewhere else, just tracking email, website issues, business issues, and then get back on the road again, it's really tough to...
And you're getting old, and maybe God is just gracious with you, and so you can sleep all the time in your bed and not in some weird beds all around the world.
Weird beds. I'm happy when I get a bed. It's in those airplanes I can't sleep at.
You don't have bed in airplanes?
But we also had a guy going back to, they don't. Well, Sarah had one coming out here, but that's a almost special deal. I guess the other guy that was here last night, I found interesting. Here's this one guy in the system leaning toward freedom. And there's another guy here, former pastor. I don't think you knew him well. Good brother. I mean, I enjoyed hanging out with him, but he's kind of got another thing he's working. And he kept even using the phrase, I'm trying to push these people toward this. And I was like, Why are we pushing people toward what? And then even with some of the questions around the table, he was trying to push, but I think by the end of the evening, he's throttling back a little bit and rethinking.
Yeah. It was very funny. We met this guy, you know, 1 year ago, and I already felt he was funny. Well, first time I met him,
funny.
I told Dominic, this guy, something bizarre or strange about him. Something I cannot, I feel is not, I don't mean it's not right, but something bizarre, let's say. And it was almost a confirmation. This guy, he doesn't want to be called a pastor, and he's not
a former pastor. He's been in the
field. Former pastor. And he's trying to make some groups that meet together regularly. And then he asks questions. It was funny because he keep on asking the same questions, even if you answer him. Like, I want these groups to get together at least once a month. But what kind of program, or what would you do when they go together? What would you do? And I was like, but what do you need? Something? You just get them together and for a picnic or dinner or whatever, barbecue, and let them, you know each other and get together. Why? But for this guy, he had to have a. Do you make some worship or
do you have a teaching?
Something like that. And you were telling him everything you said in your books already, and you know, relationship and know each other and growing trust between together, and this cannot be. You cannot force people to trust in each other, and he was continuing, and he was also with this other guy, with a Jewish guy, a French Jewish guy who went to Jerusalem, came back. And he was also in the same kind of thing, that you have to be together and show to the world that you are together, so the world can see that you are in unity. You remember?
Yeah, you meet to demonstrate unity was one of the things he was talking about.
And I was like, but that's not what I see in the Bible. You love each other, and then the world sees that you are disciples of Christ because you love each other. And if you love each other, you are one. I mean, it just comes naturally, I would say. And so the unity is not to be something to be, how do you say? You don't have to search for unity or to get
or
together.
To build it on our own strength. Yeah.
On all that. Yeah. It just comes naturally because we are all disciples of Jesus and we live life of Christ in us and in the world, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm totally wrong or...
No, and I think the question started out with, we should get these people together, so what should we do? And
yeah,
the question was, why do you want to get them together? And that would determine what you do. I mean, if you want to get them together because they're struggling in an area, and maybe we'll bring out an outside resource to kind of help teach or help have a discussion, facilitate a dialogue in some area of our spiritual growth, that'd be incredible. If you wanted to get together because they want to encourage relationships in a broader area, then that would be more of a picnic kind of a thing. And so it depends on why you want to bring them together would be, but when you get down to, because you would want to make a display for unity. I was like the same thing. I'm not sure that has value.
And it was strange because I'm sure he was looking at you still as a pastor, because the question he was asking you, this guy, was, but when you are home, how do you meet with your people? You know, your people.
Yeah.
Because you are kind of the pastor of these people. And so how do you get them together? This was a very struggle for him. I hope some answers get in.
Well, I watched him over the evening, and I think toward the end of it, he's at least understanding that we were coming at this from a really different place. And whether that now resonates and I want to go that way, or whether it's no, I need to be. But it seems like people go through this series of things. When they first begin to get a little disillusioned by religious systems, people tend to think, you know, this is actually a pretty good system. It's just being run by the wrong people. So we'll do our own. Yeah, yeah. We'll get out and do that, and we'll get better people. And then it turns out, well, maybe it's not better people, because then they tend to do what they have to do to survive in the system. Yeah, yeah, so yeah. Maybe it's not the people. Maybe it's the system itself. So they get outside that system. It's bad system. We'll create a better system. So organic system. Network or house churches. Or maybe like the folks in Texas I was with a while back, it's a philosophical system. It's a belief system. But all of it is, instead of one as people learning to follow Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's always the basic.
And as helping others learn to follow Jesus and see what God does, we try to provide something so people won't need to follow Jesus.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And the some things we provide, and this has been a real theme for the last couple of months for me, is being in more traditional congregations where really you're spending an awful lot of money, time, and energy creating an hour and a half, 2 hour event once a week, twice a week, whatever, that now I look back and I used to think, yeah, those are pretty good things. Worship's a pretty good thing. Teaching's a good thing. Why not throw those together in a deal? And yeah, that'd be great. But you look back and go, we're spending so much time and energy creating for a couple hours a week this artificial environment people don't live in
the rest of the...
All but the other 2 hours. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
The rest of the week, going to work, living with family. I mean, where Jesus wants to be real is not where we can get in a building by ourselves and lots of worship and singing and flags and chauffeurs and shofars and all that stuff. It's not that. And people feel like,
what's wrong with shofar? Come on. It's in the Bible.
It is in the Bible. So are lots of other things we don't necessarily do. And I know there are people who love it. So I'm not trying to be down on it. It just was a shock. Every time I'm hearing it, it would jar me out of any connection I was having with God. Yeah, but anyway, that's another story. But when you think about how much energy we put into that, and we want people to really experience God there, how do they duplicate that on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
Yeah, they have no clue, and they cannot do it.
They cannot.
It's just artificial.
And then people feel like, so that's my connection with God, is in that place.
I was like that many years, many years.
And that's why people then want answers for, well, then, if I can't have God in the real part of my day, in a sense, like I do on Sunday morning or whenever we're having the get-togethers, now, I don't know how I'm going to hear him here, so I need somebody to tell me.
Yeah,
I get that email. I get a dozen of them a day. What should I do about this? And I always write back and say, I don't have enough knowledge about you or what you're involved in to even... And the idea behind it is I have a principle that they don't know. That they can just give me enough facts, I've got a principle they can apply. And that principle will work with the same set of facts all over the world. And I honestly don't think that way anymore.
No.
I think what's he leading you to do? What is he asking you to do? I don't know. This is a great time to learn to listen. This is perfect time.
Absolutely.
And I just
got
one of those emails today. I had a gal write me when I was in Germany, really hurting, really broken, angry religious tradition she grew up in. Her dad's really kind of done thing. A good friend of hers passed away. It's just a messy situation. And she wrote out of all this pain and hurt and just kind of dumped it on me. And I kind of went, wow. I just wrote her back and said, man, I love you. Sorry you're hurting. I realize how horrible this is. God, I got an email from her this morning, and it just said, you know what, when I wrote you, she said, thanks for your response. I appreciate it. But when I wrote you after that, I went the other room and I just realized how much I would rather lean on you, a stranger a long way away, than just go lean on God. And she said, God met me in such an incredible way. She said, I should have written you back and said, don't worry about writing me. I'm good. And I love that. I wish you had written me sooner, but
these are good emails.
It's
great when people can realize that, because most of the time they don't even realize it. They lean on other people for their decisions.
Yeah.
They rely on other people and they cannot because it's I think here in Switzerland, in the French speaking part particularly, a lot of people are afraid of the freedom, because they have and are afraid of the responsibility that comes with the freedom, because they have to take their own decisions all the time, not the pastor or the prophet or the other, the elder or whoever.
The shofar hoofer.
The shofar blower. And that's for many people. I heard some people said, "Yeah, that's great. Well, what's in these books and the freedom, but it's too much for me."
And to some extent, I think I blame, honestly, I think religion for 2,000 years has encouraged people not to trust what God's showing you.
That's true.
So we've inculcated that, and then when people come back at it saying, "Give me a principle that I can work here," and I love when people are moving away from that and saying, wow, I want to learn to follow him.
Yeah.
And the freedom is scary. The question I got a lot this trip was, how do I get, and I got this friend, read your book, loved it. They've kind of gone off on their own. Now they're not even walking with Jesus very well. How do I get them back to, I'm going to go, why are you trying to get them back to something? Why don't you let them have their journey? And if they've decided this system can't hold me anymore and they didn't have any more passion for God than what the system gave them, it's probably good that they wander for a bit, come to the end of themselves again, and then find their way. We kind of want it to look good on the outside, which may be what that unity thing was all about.
Yeah.
Instead of let it be real for what it is and trust that. And I think I've gotten to this thing with Body Life. I think relationships can carry everything that Scripture teaches us about body life.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be in a meeting. And I'm not anti-meeting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, meetings
if
you want, if they're real and if they're alive. But if you're just creating artificial settings that wear people out with the religious activity, I don't think that's valuable.
Yeah. Absolutely. I totally agree. And that's why, unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, that's in God's hands, but for us, it is still very hard to find some people with whom we can we can have these kind of relationships. It's very hard around here, because they all go in their churches, or their meetings, or their at-home meeting, where they still have pastors or overseas or stuff like that. And it's not what we want. We just want open and real relationship, genuine relationships with people, and to develop trust with other people. And that's, well, that's what we ask God to give us, some people like that on our way.
And on the way to finding those people, if you're just loving who's in front of you today, you don't have to be people who are on the same journey, growing the same stuff, to love people, have friendships at work, in your neighborhood.
Yeah. That's what we enjoyed most of when we left the system, so to say. It was the freedom to be friends with non-Christian particularly, and to love them, and to have very good relationships, and not have an agenda behind our head to bring them to Jesus. And because I heard that many times, that if you don't speak to this guy, and this guy dies of an accident tomorrow and he goes to hell, you'll be responsible for him. You know the story. So,
I know it well.
You preached it, maybe?
No, unfortunately, I didn't preach that one, but I had it preached at me a few times.
Yeah. And so now we are, that's right, we have good friendships, with especially with colleagues, and it's very nice. And with some other people, and one of two, we are on the same journey, and like the old guy Armin, very sweet guy. I love this guy. It's a real grandpa, and he's taking care of people, and already just even before he was a real pastor of these employees, children, grandchildren. I love the guy. So we have.
But from a wider area, you're also picking up relationships. I don't see them weekly or daily because they don't live nearby. But you've got people in France, not far.
Yeah.
You've got people over in England. I mean, there's people in Australia.
I would like to have more.
I love the way God knits that together allows us to have the kind of encouragement in our journey that we need. It may not always be local, but...
Yeah. For us, it is not.
If people relaxed, I think people relaxed in the sense of, okay, God knows who I am, knows where I am, and yeah. will provide the relationships I need, whether they're on the internet for a while and a bit distant, or they become a little bit closer at home.
Yeah, sure.
That the joy is just loving the people that are before you and ensuring that you're on the journey you want to be on, mm-hmm. and watching how God affects other people through your life. I think God does everything He does through relationships. And yes. to the degree that yes. meetings facilitate relationships, I think they're valuable, or gatherings. But if you're having a meeting, one of the things that John Beaumont said in New Zealand, when meetings begin, fellowship ends.
Yeah,
we've seen that a million times.
Yeah.
So, totally. Yeah, what I love about where we hang out with back home, it's just people who are growing to know each other and hanging out together. And you watch the conversations change over time.
Yep.
You know, simple kinds of safer things to deeper kinds of struggle and pain. And to me, that's, if Hebrews 10 is talking about body life at all, when he talks about forsaking, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, where he talks about encouraging one another daily, that's not something you do in a meeting. So the assembling together isn't necessarily got to get to a meeting.
Yeah.
But I'm looking to encourage and be encouraged. And if you can't do that, if you don't have that locally, there's lots of ways to do it online now and let God do it that way for a time.
That's true. And we experienced that many times.
But if that frees us to keep loving in the meantime, that's good stuff.
So, yeah.
Well, so this is my third trip to Europe, my seventh country this summer, some crazy thing.
Yeah, but
so,
you were in
the better part of Europe?
In a nice part, yeah, and you were in Russia as well.
Yeah, I was. This is the, in fact, that's where I started my Europe trips this year. But so I guess I saved the best for last, dessert.
Oh, yeah. Switzerland. Of course.
And it is gorgeous. Switzerland is a beautiful, beautiful country.
And don't put too many pictures of our countryside around here, because otherwise we won't have enough room to all the people who wants to visit us.
Okay. I'll tell everybody not to come visit you.
Yeah, please.
Except you know a lot of people I know who somehow found their way here anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And you guys are fun to hang out with. Sarah and Dominique have a growing relationship that's kind of fun. And you and I have had a lot of fun. First time I was here was about penguins. We talked a lot about penguins.
Yes.
This time it's been more about lemmings.
Yeah. That's right.
We saw a comic the other day, which is a lot sometimes like Christian relationships tend to work out, where the lemmings are on the hillside and the guy sends some, watch them, when the first one jumps, they'll all jump. And the first one jumps, the other one's standing there and saying, I think that man's an idiot. I think I want his car, and someone else, I want his wife.
I want his wife.
Hilarious. Lemmings who won't be lemmings. But so we've had some good lemming humor.
Yeah.
But.
And I tried to have some penguins here in the river, but they were just going downstream.
That's it. Yeah, well, that's too bad.
Yeah, too bad.
But it's been a joy to hang with you guys again.
Yeah, it was good to have you.
And thanks for opening doors to so many lives and people we got to talk to, and hopefully encourage their journeys to have it on with Jesus. And
that was nice.
If this is the last trip I take, this was a great place to finish it. Now, as I said the other day, people go, well, you can't stop traveling. I said, well, no, now everybody has to come and see me instead of me coming to them. And boy, there were people ready to get on airplanes right then and come to my house.
I better be
careful with that.
I was thinking of having a charter plane and with all the people from Switzerland and fly to LA and visit you.
That'd be great. And I just come on the plane, talk for a few minutes, and get back on the plane and get
that's
plane,
not what I had in mind, but you can arrange something like that.
I think Sarah's afraid now. What does that mean? Because we already have tons of people who come to LA for various reasons. Can we stop by and see you and Sarah and people we don't even know? And I always say we try to make room for it, just to people, if you're interested in this, we always try to make room for it if we can, but we only make room for it at the last minute. We don't block out our life because we would not have a life. So,
no, that's for sure.
We always say, let us know when you're a day or two out and when you're available, and we'll just trust if God wants this connection that I'm going to have free time when you have free time. And if he doesn't, then it's obviously not possible for us to do that with everyone, but I'd be a lot more excited. I mean, when I'm in Switzerland, I always think of Labrie and Francis Schaeffer. He just set up somewhere and said, if you want to come talk to me, come talk to me. And man, that's a dream right there. I'm not one for all the traveling, but I suspect I'll be doing a bit more up the road, but I think I may get a little break for a while. So
yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say before we part out?
No, I mean, it's too bad your travel schedule is a little blocked right now, but I try to go to the States and, come over.
Come on down! And you could be the next contestant on the new Price of Rest, whatever. Whatever we're going to do.
Whatever.
So blessings on you.
Yeah, same to you, and it was very nice to have you again. And for the last trip and the last place, you were in Europe, it was in our home. Oh, we are so proud, and I think I'm going to make a plate, an engraved plate.
We could set the museum up here.
And yeah, I could. I already...
there's already one downstairs.
this one. Yeah, we can put a plate.
Plus, there's a room down there with all your artifacts from 50 years.
We can make something else. Yeah.
Traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com,